is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Do you know the difference between John Edwards and Jesus? Both of them talk a lot about poverty, but the question is, do they have two different prescriptions for fighting it? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and today we're talking about poverty in America. There are some people who are saying that Christians, conservative evangelical Christians in the United States of America, have not been paying enough attention to the issue of poverty. My question is, do you agree? Do you think that we have ignored the issue of the poor for too long when the Bible speaks to this, the mandate of the church to care for the poor repeatedly, not just in the words of Jesus, but throughout the Old and New Testaments? Do you think that we've been ignoring the issue of poverty as Christians, speaking to the issue as Christians? And if so, what can we do to turn that around? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. Poverty and the church, if we don't address it, will John Edwards? Will politicians? Senator Edwards is on his tour of the country calling for an end. Actually, he's just ended his tour of the country calling for an end to poverty. He has been through some of the most impoverished regions in the United States of America, saying we have been ignoring as a country the issue of poverty for too long. Says he's on a road to one America, picking up that two Americas theme that he had in his presidential candidacy in 2004, saying that you have all kinds of working Americans, impoverished Americans, that they've been bypassed by the nation's prosperity. And indeed, he's right at that level. You look around in every major metropolitan area, you look around in every rural area in the United States of America, and there are people who are working 3-4 jobs. There are people who are sleeping in their automobiles. There are people who have no health insurance. There are those sometimes who show up in our churches who don't know how they're going to make ends meet next week, how they're going to pay their rent. We have single moms sometimes who are dropping their children off at our vacation Bible schools who are on their way to work another shift at Walmart, and they have no idea how they're going to pay for school supplies. How should we address that as churches, as Christians? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that the reason that politicians are speaking so much to the issue of poverty is because we as Christians have not? We as churches have not? What do you think? Christianity and poverty, that's our topic today. But first, in the news, dog fighting on the floor of the United States Senate. Now, not an actual dog fight, but you have the issue coming up about training up pit bulls and these other dogs to fight one another for money and for gambling. And Senator Robert Byrd spoke to this issue on the floor of the United States Senate, and this is what he said.
The training of these poor creatures to turn themselves into fighting machines is simply barbaric. 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 Let that word resound from hill to hill and from mountain to mountain, from valley to valley, across this broad land. Barbaric. Barbaric. May God help those poor souls who would be so cruel. Barbaric. Hear me. Barbaric.
Okay, I'm opposed to dog fighting and gambling too, but you have to ask, is Senator Byrd okay? I mean, is this really the approach that we ought to take to this issue? But he is right. You do have a symptom of human sin showing itself even in the treatment of God's creatures, animals. In other news, today people are going to be lined up at bookstores to get the last installment of the Harry Potter series. Does this mean that Harry Potter dies at the end of the book? So those of you who are diehard Harry Potter nerds are going to be there looking through those books trying to find out whether or not there's a death at the end of it. Those of you who don't care are just simply going to let this just bypass you completely. But there are a lot of people who care about this a lot on both sides. A lot of Christians who say you have a glamorization of witches in these books. You have a lot of Christians who are saying, no, instead, what you have here is Christian. You have fantasy, kind of an understanding of the world as good versus evil. That debate will continue at least for a few more weeks. But it looks like this is the last Harry Potter release that we are ever going to see. You have the Church of England trying to say, let's take the Harry Potter books and let's turn this into a missionary endeavor. Owen Smith, who wrote the Church of England's book curriculum, mixing it up with Harry Potter, trying to use the Pottermania for the cause of the gospel, had this to say.
As a Christian, I am desperate for people to find out about God. And if this book helps one other person find out about Jesus and the great news he shares, then that's great.
Okay, so there are going to be people who are going to try to use the Harry Potter phenomenon in order to say, this points you to Jesus. I'm not sure how. I haven't seen this curriculum to see exactly how this guy is trying to use the Harry Potter material to point us to Jesus, but apparently he is trying. President George W. Bush spoke today about the issue of withdrawal from Iraq. President Bush is warning that if we withdraw, if the United States of America simply pulls out of Iraq, what you'll have left is an escalating civil war, genocide, disaster, and instability in the Middle East. This is what President Bush had to say.
Failure in Iraq would allow terrorists to operate from a safe haven with access to the world's third largest oil reserves. Failure in Iraq would increase the probability that at some later date American troops would have to return to Iraq to confront an enemy more dangerous and more entrenched. Failure in Iraq would send an unmistakable signal to America's enemies that our country can be bullied into retreat.
President Bush also signed an executive order today prohibiting cruel and inhuman treatment, including humiliating or denigrating the religious beliefs of those who are being interrogated for terrorism. There are several parameters laid out in the New York Times report of this. Things that are going to be dealt with are anything that would be intended to denigrate the religion or the religious practices or the religious objects of an individual, tearing up a Quran or something along these lines, willful or outrageous acts of personal abuse to humiliate or degrade someone, sexual types of indecent acts or degradation, torture or acts of violence serious enough to be considered comparable to murder, torture, mutilation, and cruel or inhuman treatment. I think this is a good thing. I think the president's signing of this executive order is not only the right thing to do and the just thing to do, it also sends a very clear signal to the world community. The United States of America will not be trafficking in cruelty. We're better than that. I think it's a really good sign, and I'm glad the president did this today. You think about people in your community. Think about the lady who shows up in your church every Sunday morning, who seems to have worry lines in her face because she doesn't know how she's going to pay the rent next week. Think about the people that you see standing on the side of the road holding up signs, "We'll work for food." Do you think that our churches are addressing the issue of poverty well? Are our churches really addressing the poor in such a way that we are seeing real demonstrable change in our churches and in our communities over the issue of poverty? You know, those on the left, John Edwards, Jim Wallace, Ron Sider, others in that framework, say that the problem with those of us who are conservative, Bible-believing, evangelical Christians is that we focus on all kinds of other issues, but we never look at the issue of poverty. And many of them say, you know, I've read through the Old Testament and I've read through the New Testament, and Jesus speaks to the issue of the poor. God speaks to the issue of poverty repeatedly throughout the Bible. And yet, y'all don't have anything to say about poverty. Do you think that that criticism hits us? Is that criticism really accurate? Are we as Christians ignoring the plight of the poor? And if so, do we have something to answer for? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. There are many of us who would disagree with what John Edwards, or Lyndon Johnson for that matter, would want to do to correct poverty. The question is, though, what can we do? What should we do? How should we be speaking to the issue of poverty as Christians and as churches, not just on a national public policy level, but at the local level of the body of Christ? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let me know if you think the church is addressing poverty in a way that Jesus would commend. 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about poverty. Do you think that our churches have ignored the issue of poverty? And if so, how can we address poverty as Christians? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. When Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you," is Jesus saying, oh, come on, the poor, they'll always be here. Let's talk about more important things. Or is Jesus saying something else? And if so, how can conservative, Bible-believing, Orthodox Christians address the issue of poverty as Christians? Do we simply need to baptize the Great Society? Or do we simply need to ignore the whole issue of poverty and concentrate on other things that we believe to be more pressing? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What does our response to poverty have to do with the gospel? It's Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler on the Albert Mohler Program, and I am really pleased to welcome my guest, Dr. Marvin Olasky, who is professor at University of Texas at Austin. He is also a Bradley Scholar at the Heritage Foundation, visiting professor he has been at Princeton University, senior fellow at the Acton Institute and the Wilberforce Forum, and he, of course, is editor-in-chief of World Magazine, the fifth most read newsweekly in the United States of America, and also right now, Vice President of Academic Affairs at the King's College in New York City. Dr. Olasky, are you on steroids?
Well, that last one I think is the fun one right now. I've just added that on. King's College, let me, real quick story. 10 years ago was a little college north of New York City, a very pastoral, beautiful campus, and the board of directors deliberately decided that Christians needed to engage the city.
Mm-hmm.
They sold that campus, rented long-term office and classroom space in the Empire State Building, and which is where I'm talking from. I'm talking from right now on the 15th floor, looking out over Manhattan. And it's great to be in the city and actually engage in the city. Christians were always people of the city, and we lost a lot when we gave up the city to the folks who used to be in the countryside, the Paganos, the pagans.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were called, and now we're trying to take it back.
Well, one of the things that you're going to have to deal with in the city and in Manhattan is the issue of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote a very interesting book called The Tragedy of American Compassion, saying that sometimes what we've been doing to address poverty at the public policy level is actually counterproductive in the task of helping the poor.
Right.
Do you think that the charge really sticks? You have some people out there on the so-called evangelical left, and then some, such as John Edwards running for president and others, saying that conservative Christians don't like to talk about poverty. They like to talk about culture wars, but they ignore the issue of poverty.
I think a little of that is true, that we've been paying attention to the very important issues biblically, the crucial life and death issue of abortion and the very important issue biblically of homosexuality. The Bible's clear on that. But the Bible actually has a lot more about poverty and helping the poor than it does about homosexuality or just about anything else. So I think we have been missing the boat on a little bit of that.
Why do you think that is?
For a lot of Christians who work hard and have become affluent, it's hard to want to go over to the other side of the tracks, in a way outside our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Schaeffer, you know, 25 years ago talked about the tendency among many evangelicals to be thinking most about our personal peace and affluence. That was the expression he used.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, true then and to some extent true now, too.
There are some people who will say, Dr. Olasky, you have Jesus speaking of poverty, speaking of the poor. We ought to then support higher minimum wage.
Well, I mean, maybe there should be. I mean, there should be higher wages if possible.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things you learn out in the world is that you can't just make things happen just by saying so. What you're doing with a higher minimum wage, which may be good for lots of people, but there are a lot of economists who say that what it does is it takes a lot of very poor people, and particularly kids, and leaves them with a wage of zero, unemployed,
mm-hmm.
Rather than working at something and learning skills that will get them to a higher position. I'm not an economist, so
mm-hmm.
I can't really give any definitive answer on that debate, not that a lot of economists really can be definitive anyway, but it's a real thing we have to consider. You can't just say, well, everyone should earn at least $10 an hour and set up a minimum wage, then you're going to leave a lot of people unemployed.
Well, you have spoken to the issue very clearly of welfare and of the way that the American welfare system has really been counterproductive and even harmful at times to the poor, not just materially, but also spiritually.
Oh, yeah. One of the problems that really emerges is when you have intergenerational welfare dependency, and you have kids growing up without dads who show that, hey, here's what a man does. A man goes out to work.
Mm-hmm.
The kids don't have that, and often welfare has substituted in some ways for the provision of a father, and it hurts kids materially, and it also hurts kids spiritually, because I've been in lots of inner-city areas where there are no working dads for blocks around, and often no dads in the house at all. The kids don't have that experience of a father who's both loving but also tough when needed, and it's hard for them to comprehend our Father in heaven,
mm-hmm.
who's also loving and also tough when needed.
Mm-hmm.
It has that type of effect.
Now, do you think that in some ways we've actually furthered that problem by having, for instance, in welfare reform, public policy proposals, and indeed in the law now, requirements of moms to go to work, actually encouraging child care and these types of programs?
Yeah, that can be very harmful sometimes. What you really want to do as much as possible is encourage marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get dads back in the homes, and there have been some very successful programs, Christian programs, that have done that. And then you want to make it possible for, and this gets back to the minimum wage question, you want to, if possible, have the guys working at jobs that will support a family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the best poverty fighting device we've actually had in over the past 10 years has been this thing called the EITC, the Employee Income Tax Credit.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, in many ways it functions as increasing the minimum wage, because people are working at a certain level that they're working hard, but they're not getting paid as much as it needs to support a family. They can get kind of a reverse tax credit on that and actually get more money that way. And that's a better way because it doesn't throw people out of work, but it enables them to get more money and support a family. That's much better than just arbitrarily raising the minimum wage and ending up throwing a lot of people out of work.
Do you think it's helpful when, say, John Edwards, presidential candidate, spends time going around the country to impoverished areas in West Virginia and Mississippi and Kentucky, pointing out the issue of poverty when it's couched in the language of two Americas?
Well, no, the two America concept isn't healthy at all, because the great virtue of this country economically is it's been one America, that for the most part rising tides have lifted all boats. I mean, even the poor in the United States right now, I mean, they're really sad. The tragic thing would be if there are people who are going around going hungry and so forth. I mean, that isn't happening. I mean, even the poor people in this country are often better off financially than middle-class people were 50 years ago. The rising tide has lifted all boats.
What do you think? Do you think that our churches, do you think that American Christianity addresses the issue of poverty in a way that is compelling and biblical and compassionate? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Have we ignored the poor as Christians? And if so, what does Jesus think of us? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I'll be right back with Marvin Olasky to talk about the poor and the church. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
down upon his knee. He said, boy, you go to school and learn your letters. Don't you be a dirty miner like me. I was born and raised in the mouth of a hazard hollow. Old cars rambled past my door. Now they're standing in a rusty row all empty. And the L&M don't stop here anymore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. There are communities all over the United States of America in which the factories are gone. There are inner city areas with churches right in the middle of them, surrounded in broken glass and broken lives. We have poverty in front of us all of the time. And my question to you is, do you think that we as conservative Bible-believing Christians have ignored the poor? And if so, how do we address poverty without simply turning to big government solutions? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know how you think we as Christians and as churches can address the issue of poverty in a Christ-exalting kingdom way. But first, continue my conversation with my guest, Marvin Olasky, editor-in-chief of World Magazine. Dr. Olasky, we can talk about how government ought to address the issue of poverty, but how specifically should a local church, how can a local church address the issue of poverty in a way that is actually meaningful?
Well, first thing to understand is that the problem is not one of absolute poverty in terms of hunger or anything like that. It's a problem that's often a spiritual problem of people who, for a whole variety of reasons, some beyond their control, some not, are just not able to participate in this economy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's bad education, and we can help a lot by pushing for Christian schools in inner city areas, pushing mm-hmm. for voucher programs and tax credit programs to give, you know, poor kids as well as rich kids, some opportunity to go to a decent school. But then other things, I mean, we have to understand, again, this is a spiritual, it's a psychological problem very often, and rather than just say, hey, I'm going to do the easy thing and just pay some taxes and so forth, write a check, stuff that doesn't get me personally involved, the whole idea is to come alongside people in need. We're offering challenging and personal and spiritual help and not just the bureaucratic variety.
Now, Dr. Olasky, often you'll have churches that are doing benevolence programs, for instance. They're helping people in poverty meet their bills and meet their needs. And the problem is they wind up almost with a constituency of people that are dependent upon that, almost every bit as much as you have people dependent upon the government. How can a church avoid that?
Well, you avoid it by emphasizing work and training people for work and not just trying to not just ending up with people dependent on you rather than dependent on the government. Churches tend to do a better job because they don't tend to be bureaucratic, and they do if they're understanding the way to fight poverty. They do emphasize spiritual and challenging and personal help. But nevertheless, I mean, there are some of these same problems. Churches can become bureaucratic also. The question always is to look at people as human beings with spiritual needs, made in God's image and capable of working in the way that in an imitation of the way that God works creatively.
Dr. Marvin Olasky, editor-in-chief of World Magazine, I appreciate your joining me today on the program.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
What's your thought? Do you think that we as churches and as Christians are addressing poverty the way we ought to, the way that Jesus calls us to in Scripture? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Or are the liberals right? Conservative Christians are concerned about culture wars. We're not concerned about the poor. 877-893-TALK. We have Brenda on the line calling from East Tennessee. Brenda, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hello, Albert. I'm just calling to, I'm going to try to state this as briefly as I can.
Okay.
I grew up very poor by American standards,
mm-hmm.
and my grandparents adopted me when I was 6 months old,
mm-hmm.
and I grew up two houses down from a church,
mm-hmm.
and my grandfather died when I was 14, and the whole time that I was growing up, we lived on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
After my grandfather died, you know, they came and they gave their condolences. We weren't members of the church, but I can just remember thinking, we were there by ourselves. I could see the nice cars pulling into the church, and my grandmother couldn't work at all. She was 67 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you a Christian now, Brenda?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm a Christian now, but I wasn't then. I wasn't saved. And I didn't really understand back then, being that young, why no one wanted to, you know, come up and ask, you know, do you need anything? Because we had a Bible, and I read, you know, about how the Lord told us to, you know, help each other out.
All right. And Brenda says that her local church in her area gave her the impression they weren't concerned about the poor. What do you think? Are we ignoring the poor? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Now, he just done a summer. That's Jesus Christ says this exact same thing. You have those who are impoverished, and we are to reach out our hands in service and in help to them. Jesus tells us, commands us that. Are we doing it, or are we ignoring the poor? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. John Edwards is willing to go all over the country saying, we have two Americas. Let's try to eradicate poverty. Question is, are conservative, Bible-believing Christian churches addressing the issue of poverty, or do we even know how to, other than just saying, yeah, raise the minimum wage, yeah, give some more welfare? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think about how the church is doing with the poor. We have Marvin on the line listening on XM Radio. Marvin, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Moore. I think the church is doing a lot for it, but you have like in our church, we have continued influx of the same people coming back time after time, and you know, they don't seem to want to help themselves. They've so much as said that they won't. It's beneath them to take a minimum wage job. Mm-hmm. So when is enough enough that the church helps? I say that we'd be compassionate, but you know, we also need to, you know, give them a hand up also, correct?
Oh, yeah. And I agree with you that you can't create at the local level the kind of dependency that's awful at the national level. I think that you do have to make sure that what you're doing is not enabling people to continue in bad patterns. But I think often what we want to do is to say, because we've seen that done so poorly in some places, let's just not do it at all. My question to you is, do you think that we as Christians and as churches, are we ignoring theologically, missiologically, ecclesiologically, are we ignoring the issue of poverty? I think Brenda's call is really important. When Brenda says, as a little girl with a father who's gone, in a situation in which she had economic uncertainty, and she watched the people from her local evangelical church driving by in nice cars, never checking on this, never offering any type of compassion, I think that really speaks to the issue of the heart. And I think Jesus is telling us that over and over again. So what do we do? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. The poor we will always have with us. So what do we do about it? 877-893-TALK. We have Rich, who is listening on WTBN in Brandon, Florida. Rich, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Moore?
Doing great. What's your thought
yeah.
on this?
While I was sitting here waiting, I just pulled up the Barna webpage, barna.org,
uh-huh.
And the headline says, Evangelicals are the most generous givers. And that was where I got my information from. I remembered hearing the article not too long ago. But I just think that conservative Christians, they tend to tithe more than, say, more liberal Christians.
Yeah.
And it's through the churches that you're able to do outreach to the poor, whether it's inner-city ministries or ministries overseas, like in Haiti. My church, for example, if we need to send money to Haiti, the members of our church are more than willing to open up their checkbooks to contribute. I think we, as a whole, all the churches, we could all do a better job. But when it comes right down to it, who's giving more and who's trying to assist the poor more. It seems like the conservative evangelicals are doing a much better job than the other churches. But again, we shouldn't be complacent because we all could do a better job in tithing and those kinds of things.
Yeah, Rich, I think you're onto something there. I think that you do have conservative Christians who are able to are giving more money. They are supporting programs that actually alleviate poverty more than liberal churches are doing, which often are just putting out papers about how to raise taxes and have bigger government programs. I still don't think that that's not enough. I still think that the problem going on in our churches is often not just that we're not giving enough. I think that you can have a kind of complacency. The same type of people who say, I'll just give my tax dollars to the government, they'll take care of it. You can also create that kind of culture in the life of a church, of a Bible-believing church. I'll just give my tithe money, they'll take care of it. When Jesus is speaking of this issue a little differently, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. Are we doing something spiritually to our own church members and to ourselves when we're not face to face with the poor? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are we doing a good job as conservative Christians addressing the issue of poverty? Or are we just abandoning this issue to the liberals? 877-893-TALK. We have Terry, who is calling from East Texas. Terry, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Let me pull over to the side of the road so I'll be legal. I've worked with and been in ministry for 20 years. In the last 7 years, I worked with at-risk youth programs.
Uh-huh.
And the biggest one of the things I did with a small congregation was we went in and did a research Bible study between the difference in being poor and being slothful.
Uh-huh.
And the poor, we do have a responsibility for. And a lot of the government programs, and I've worked with a nonprofit now, and I've worked with them the last 7 years, a lot of them, the key thing is keeping people in poverty through the socialism programs. And what I teach kids all the time is that they can break that cycle of poverty. And so what we've done, I've created a at-risk youth centers that was the largest youth center in a Texarkana community. We saw kids' lives change. We had a shoestring budget, shoestring people, and we had over 100 people every Friday and Saturday night would come in. We'd feed them as kids, and because if we're going to really make an impact, we really got to target the kids, I believe, because that's they're more moldable, you know, now than the older ones. And but also, if a church is having a program, they need to keep people accountable, and that's one thing our social programs don't do. We actually sustain poverty by not holding people accountable. Because that keeps them under our control. So,
all right. We have LaPera, who is calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. LaPera, what's your thought on this?
Just having done financial literacy training with people in poverty, what I know is that the skills they need come from relationship building and not just from giving dollars. They need money, too. But to really see changes in their lives, you have to be willing to go in and build relationships with them. And the vast majority of evangelical Christians aren't willing to get in there and get their hands dirty.
Amen. And that's not just on the issue of poverty. That's really across the board with virtually every ill, personal and social, that I can think of, and every issue of discipleship and sanctification I can think of. I think you are exactly onto something here. It is much easier to give a check. It is also much easier to come up with a public policy proposal on the left or the right than it is to actually know someone. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back with some final thoughts on the church and poverty on the Albert Mohler Program. That's the problem right there. That's the attitude right there. That's the core of the problem with evangelical Christians and poverty, at least in my view. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I think that you've got evangelical churches made up of people who in a previous generation would have been pulpwood haulers. would have been garbage collectors who now are gentrified. Evangelical Christianity is made up of upwardly mobile suburban people, and we're fat and comfortable in that. When in reality, Scripture tells us in James chapter 2 that God has chosen the poor, not because they're poor, chosen the poor to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. What we ought to be seeing in the way that we're addressing poverty is not just alleviating suffering. What we ought to be recognizing is that God's priorities, that kingdom priorities, turn everything upside down. The way in which we value people, the way in which we value lives on the basis of bank accounts and SUVs and limousines, none of these things are accounted for at the judgment seat of Christ. That's one of the reasons why the big issue of poverty can't be addressed by John Edwards, can't be addressed by politicians on the left or on the right, ultimately. The issue of poverty has to be seen in these little kingdom outposts in churches that are willing to say, yeah, we need to fight poverty. We need to fight poverty by sometimes giving money directly to people, yeah. But a lot of times it's about building relationships with people, about building support systems with people, about honoring family life and marriage life and hard work, about understanding and recognizing that our calling is to do good to all people, as the Apostle Paul says, and especially to those who are the household of faith. It's very easy to be an evangelical Christian who looks just like upwardly mobile middle-class America with a cross around her neck. What's harder is to recognize that there's a lady in your church this Sunday morning who's been working as a hotel maid all week, taking pain pills for her back, and she's trusting in Jesus, and she has a kingdom waiting for her in which she will receive great honor and ruling authority. If we really understand that poverty is something we must address precisely because we believe in the kingdom of Christ, then we might understand something about who we really are, that we're standing in that kingdom same way camels go through needles' eyes. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.